Before we get into this, I want to give you a bit of a disclaimer. I'm not coming to you with any type of political bias. I know I've said this before, but we need to stop focusing on the who and start focusing on the why. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You need to make it settled in your heart that I'm not here to attack any of your favorite political candidates. You need to understand that the left wing and the right wing are attached to the same bird, and the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. The things that I'm about to share with you are not easy to understand. You need to pray for discernment. Ask the Lord to give you eyes to see and ears to hear so that you may clearly see the things that He desires for you to see spiritually. Again, the Bible says that the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. You have to have spiritual eyes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, and the ears that hear what you hear. For many kings and prophets have desired to see these things and have not seen them, and to hear these things and have not heard them." Pray that the Lord would give you spiritual eyes. I no longer stand in a political party. I don't take part in a system that forces you to choose the right or the left. I stand right where I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ because I am a servant of the Lord. You need to come out of this political system that forces you into a position that does not line up with the will of God. Now, with that being said, I want to give you a bit of a timeline here because there's so many things that are happening. I was going through and researching some of these things and I was thinking to myself, my goodness, this stuff is getting so thick and so heavy and there's so much information with everything that's happening all around the world with chaos and confusion and division and strife and war and rumors of wars that it's literally hard to keep up with. But when you start to look at the dates, it starts to paint a picture. Now, I want to give you this timeline here to help you to kind of understand the direction of where I'm going with this so that you can see how things are unfolding. In October of 2025, the press released that Donald Trump's top cabinet officials had frantically moved into underground bases in D.C. And then on October 12th, of 2025, we saw the start of the longest government shutdown in the history of the United States of America. Now, on November 24th of 2025, we saw the executive order that was signed to launch the Genesis mission. I talked about this in a previous podcast. Now, this executive order was signed to unleash a new age of AI accelerated innovation for technology. They've instructed the Department of Energy to build infrastructure because AI is such a strong drain on the electrical grid as it is, that they are going to build infrastructure. And when you go in and you look at what this is doing, it's going to take AI to a place where mankind has never seen it before, because we were told in the beginning that there are three phases with AI, and we've talked about this. If you haven't seen these previous podcasts, you need to go back and look where I talked about how these people are summoning the fallen ones from the other side of the flood. This is very demonic in nature when you look into what these people are doing. Now, as we saw that executive order signed just a short while later in December 19th of 2025, we saw the presidential action released by the White House to win the race to 6G. And when I looked into that, I saw that they said that 6G was going to support things like AI, robotics, and implantable technologies. And we've talked about this, but that's pretty disturbing that we are seeing this AI push that's going to line up with a new wave of technology with 6G that's going to support implantable technologies. As we see, the Bible says that the beast system will have a system of control. They will be able to cause you to not to be able to buy or sell unless you have a mark in your right hand or your forehead, which sounds a lot like implantable technology. Now, on the very same day, on December 19th, we saw this first round of Epstein files that were supposedly released, but from what I saw, a lot of it was redacted. And it's interesting that all these things are happening around this time. We saw this government shutdown and these top officials moving into underground bases in D.C. and these executive orders being signed and this push for AI and 6G. But what else did we notice? Now, all these things are happening. We're seeing war break out on multiple fronts. We're seeing the thing that happened with Venezuela and what's going on with Iran. Just while we're filming this, Iran has closed all of their airspace, and we're getting reports out of Iran that over 12,000 people have been massacred in the streets, and they're saying that there's rivers of blood in the streets of Iran because these people are protesting. And there are unconfirmed reports that this is Islam that has done this, and that a lot of these people that are protesting were burning mosques because they were in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're saying a lot of these people are Christians that are tired of being oppressed by this regime. And we know that our president, Donald Trump, has came out and said that if Iran kills these protesters, that there's going to be an imminent strike on Iran. Now, a lot of people have probably seen on the news where Donald Trump is talking about how he's going to take over Greenland. And we're seeing all of these different things happen with wars and rumors of wars, right? The Bible says before the time of the end, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. There's going to be nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be distress among nations with perplexity. Distress among nations with perplexity looks like people rioting in the streets and burning down buildings and a lot of different division and strife and religious wars and political divisions and all these things that we're literally seeing happen at the same time. And Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head and look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. He's saying that there's going to be a convergence of these things coming together, and we've talked about this. But what's really interesting to me is that while we have the leader of the United States of America who is literally calling for world peace, he's claiming that he's going to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, and he's saying that his New Year's resolution is that he wants world peace. But while he's saying these things, he's literally launching attacks on multiple countries. Now listen, again, this is not a personal attack on this guy. All I'm here to do is point out factual information and line it up with the Word of God and how we see these biblical prophecies happening. If you can't hear these facts without getting your feelings hurt, I suggest you go listen to somebody else that's going to tickle your ears and line up with whatever political affiliation that you have. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to rightly divide the Word of truth and bring forth a word of understanding so that you may be prepared for the things that are coming upon this earth. But as I saw where he's calling for world peace while we're striking all these countries with bombing attacks in Syria, Iran, and we see Israel has wiped out Gaza. Every man, woman, and child there is dead that I've seen. It's a tragedy. Now, you got to understand something. These people went in and they said that there were terrorists there. But they bombed every daycare and nursery and school and hospital and library and civilian housing places, and it's gone. They've wiped this thing off the map, and these same people are standing at the podium with the president and saying, with Donald Trump, we have the first Jewish president.
6 years ago, I was up here, and I said, this is our first Jewish president. Now he's the first Jewish president to serve two
Not consecutive
presidencies. We thank you for everything.
And that's a very interesting statement, because there's a lot of people that are waking up to the fact that the Bible says in the last days, in Revelation 2:9, he said, "I know the blasphemy of those who claim to be Jews but are not, and do lie and are the synagogue of Satan." You need to understand that these people that run the government of Israel, they openly practice Judaism. Judaism is an antichrist religion. Get that through your head. These people that have the star on their flag, which is called the Star of David, that is literally the Star of Remphan. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 43 that the Israelites, they made the star to worship their god, Remphan. And if you look up the Star of Remphan, you can see that that is the same symbol that's on their flag. The Talmud is what they read and practice as their biblical text in Judaism. And it says in their book that they believe that Jesus Christ is burning in hell in his own excrement. Think about that for a second. These are the people that the majority of the churches in the United States are lifting up and exalting while they practice a religion that literally blasphemes Jesus Christ and says that he was a false prophet and that he's burning in hell in his own bodily fluids. This is inherently evil. The Bible says that the people who claim to be of this lineage in this time are the synagogue of Satan. And look at what they're doing around the world. People are waking up to this. But as I saw that our own president was calling for world peace while launching attacks and taking out leaders and doing all these things, hey, I get it. There are reasons, right? They're telling us that they've got drugs coming into this country. It's interesting that they're saying that all of these, this fentanyl and these dangerous drugs that are coming through Venezuela, but we know that they're being manufactured in China and brought over on container ships. But we're out here bombing these little skiff boats in the water that's got a few pounds of this stuff on it. When this stuff's being mass produced and brought in out of China, it makes me think that there's something bigger at play here. Now all of a sudden they're telling us that we're going to control the oil that comes out of Venezuela because China gets the majority of their oil there. It's kind of like whenever we went into Iraq and George Bush said, hey, they've got weapons of mass destruction. But after the whole operation played out, they said, well, we didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. But what they did was they destabilized the leadership in that country and they took control. They set up military bases and they gained control of that country. But what's interesting to me here is as we see these things happening, we see the leader of our own country calling for peace while he's making war with these countries. Now, when I prayed about this, I was directed to a scripture in Daniel chapter 8, where it talks about at the time of the end, right? At the time of the end of the world, there's going to be a final kingdom that's set up. And it says in verse 23, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now you need to understand something. I used to wonder what that would look like for somebody to be able to, through peace, destroy many. And I see that we have a leader who's calling for world peace while literally making war with multiple nations and taking over nations. I'm not trying to call this guy evil or say that he's some kind of a bad person or that he's not making good decisions for our country. But what I'm saying is you need to understand that we are entering into a time of strong delusion. The Bible says that there's going to be a time of strong delusion and deception that's so bad that for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened, that no flesh might be saved. For if it were possible, the very elect might be deceived. That means that there's going to be a deception so strong that people are not going to be able to tell truth from reality. And it's going to be so bad that Jesus is going to have to come back in the middle of it and shorten that hour of tribulation so that he could stop the very elect from being deceived. You got to understand something. People are entitled in this generation. They think, well, I'm not going to be deceived. I believe in Jesus. The Bible says that God is going to send a strong delusion that they might believe the lie. You need to understand that a deception doesn't look like a deception. That's why it's called a deception. Now, when you talk about what a grand delusion or a deception would look like, how many of you can remember on social media when these weird AI videos started popping up? And you could pretty much tell that's AI, right? We've talked about this. You could see something on the wall that looked weird or had an indiscernible language, or you could see a hand with an extra finger, or something just would look really strange and kind of corny, and it didn't look real, and you were like, oh, that's AI. Well, let me ask you a question. Since we've seen all of these things happen, and after this government shutdown and all of these initiatives signed to advance AI and win the race to 6G, how many of those AI videos have you seen recently floating around social media that you could just tell, right? It got to a point to where in the first phase of AI, which was simple AI, and it was very easy to tell that it wasn't real. But then it got to a place in the second phase of AI, which was general AI. And all of a sudden, you started really having a struggle to see if it was AI or not. It looked really authentic. It looked realistic. But now, all of a sudden, it's like you don't really see any more of those videos. Because how do you know whether or not they're real? Because they're so well made that you can't tell reality from fiction. But I want to present an idea to you here, and I just want to hypothetically talk about something. And I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but you do understand that the Bible says that the beast system will be a one-world system. It's going to take over the whole world, and he will cause all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to not be able to buy or sell, save he that had the mark in his right hand or his forehead. But it also says whenever the beast gave life to the image of the beast, that he will cause all that do not worship it to be put to death. And that tells me that this is going to be a pretty elaborate system. But who's to say that when we saw this government shutdown and we saw all of these main officials and cabinet members moving themselves and their families into underground military bases, that this system didn't come online? And if they have AI taking over and making these videos that are so realistic that you can't tell them apart from reality, how are you going to know if the government's not being ran by AI? If that happened, hypothetical. Again, I'm not trying to tell you something that's happened or is going to happen. I'm just, you know, we're just having a conversation here, right? If you start noticing what these people talked about, they straight up told us that the third and final phase of AI is super intelligence. And when you look into what that is, it says that it is uncomprehendable by the human mind. It will confound the minds of humans. So if we see that system come online, what's that going to look like? That means that if you saw a political candidate come out and address the nation, how are you going to be able to tell whether that was a real person or an AI-generated video? Because we're getting to a point now to where it's beginning to muddle the lines of what's truth and what's fiction, what's reality and what's not. Now, I want to give you a word of caution here. I'm not trying to say these things to be a fearmonger or to scare you or to bring fear, doubt, or worry into your heart. I'm saying these things to sound the alarm because the Lord says that I have set watchmen upon the wall to warn the people. You need to be prepared in your heart for the things that are coming upon the earth. We're seeing the wars and the rumors of wars and the nations rising against nations and the kingdom against kingdoms. But what have these people been telling you? Look at what year it is. It is now 2026. The Global Economic Forum has told you over and over, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. What did Elon Musk recently come out and say? That they are planning to mass produce Neuralink chips to put into the minds of humans so that everybody could have this implantable technology. What did this presidential action that was released by the White House say? Go look it up. Do your own research. You don't have to take my word for it. I'm telling you things that are true as they pertain to the Bible, and the Bible literally lines up with this prophecy that's happening before our eyes. They're saying that they're going to mass produce this Neuralink chip that is a chip that can be implanted into the human brain, and you can link your consciousness to a smart device, which kind of sounds like what Daniel the prophet talked about in Daniel chapter 2 when he said the fourth and final kingdom that is set up on the earth will be the kingdom of iron and miry clay, and the iron will mingle themselves together with the seed of the miry clay. I've talked about this over and over, but I'm trying to get you to understand what that would look like, because Adam was formed out of the miry clay. The seed of the miry clay is the offspring of man. We see this final kingdom being set up, and we've seen presidents all throughout the history of the United States in recent times telling us over and over that we are going to lead in shaping a new world order.
I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
But not only did Elon Musk say that he was going to begin mass production of these Neuralink chips, he said that Tesla's plan was to produce 1 million Optimus humanoid robots that are powered by AI by the year 2030. And when you see that and you think about all this other stuff that's lining up with implantable technology, and by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. And we already hear people talking about how AI is going to make robots and they're going to take human jobs and we're going to see all this stuff come to pass. What are people thinking is happening here? Because we're getting pretty close to the year 2030, and it looks like a lot of these things are coming to pass, and people are just not really paying attention to it. Now, I know a lot of those things are very interesting, and a lot of people could say, oh, that sounds so far out. But you need to understand that these things are literally happening. This is not conspiracy theory. These are things that you can go look up on the whitehouse.gov website. But here's where things get very disturbing very quickly. Everybody knows that recently the United States went in and took out the leader of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro. Now, I know a lot of people get upset about that. They say he wasn't the leader. He wasn't the president. At one point, he was elected president. And when his term was over, he decided that he was going to be a dictator. I'm not here to argue his political status. We all obviously know that he was in power of the country. Whatever he called himself, I do not care. I don't want to have that conversation. It's ridiculous to go through that. I already dealt with that on social media. But what we saw when he extracted Maduro out of Venezuela, there was an account from his top security guy, and he was talking about what happened the night of the U.S. raid, and one of the White House officials confirmed this and said, everybody needs to go read this and see what this guy said. And when I read it, I looked at it and I thought, man, this is kind of crazy. But I want to read to you some of this guy's testimony and what he said happened the night that the United States attacked Venezuela and took Maduro out of the country. He said, after those drones appeared, some helicopters arrived, but they were very few. I think barely 8 helicopters. From those helicopters, soldiers came down, but a very small number, maybe 20 men. But those men were very technologically advanced, right? He's saying that men came down out of helicopters and they were technologically advanced. They didn't look like anything we've ever fought against before. And the interviewer said, and then the battle began? And the security man said, yes, but it was a massacre. We were hundreds, but we had no chance. They were shooting with such precision and speed, it seemed like each soldier was firing 300 rounds per minute. And the interviewer asked, what about your own weapons? Did they help? And the security guard said, no help at all. Because it wasn't just the weapons. At one point, they launched something. I don't know how to describe it. It was like a very intense sound wave. Suddenly, I felt like my head was exploding from the inside. We all started bleeding from the nose. Some were vomiting blood. We fell to the ground, unable to move. And the interviewer said, what about your comrades? Did they manage to resist? And the security guard said, no, not at all. Those 20 men, without a single casualty, killed hundreds of us. We had no way to compete with their technology, with their weapons. I swear I've never seen anything like it. We couldn't even stand up after that sonic weapon or whatever it was. Think about what this guy's saying. And people were asking White House officials, and this Caroline Leavitt woman said, yeah, go listen to what he said. Everybody needs to think about this. This guy's saying it's changing the way that the world is looking at the United States of America, and he's talking about these super soldiers that came out. 20 of them were killing hundreds of men, and they didn't stand a chance, and they were using unhuman technology. What does that sound like? What does that look like? Because we see where Elon Musk is telling us that they're planning to make 1 million Optimus humanoid robots. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand at this point that by the time they tell us about something, it has already came to pass, they have had technology like this for probably the last 20 years, and they're just now letting us know about it because they are in control. We are not ignorant to Satan's devices. You need to understand that. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant to his devices. It's why Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep amidst wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You need to understand that your enemy desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. He's always going to stay 20 steps ahead of you. The technology that we're now hearing about has been something that they already produced a long time ago. Now, it's interesting that we see that happen in Venezuela, but now all of a sudden we're seeing these videos of shootings that are happening and more protests are rising up in the United States of America, and it looks all too familiar. We've got this Nick Shirley guy that's been going around and exposing all of this government corruption, like the Somalian Learning Centers in Minneapolis, and they were taking billions of dollars in grant money, and these places were just vacant buildings. And as soon as he began exposing this stuff and all of these Somalians that are doing all of these corrupt things, and they're tying back to these U.S. legislators, these people in government, all of a sudden you see all of this civil unrest and these shootings and riots and protests and all of these things that are happening around the United States, and people are getting up in arms and they're ready to fly their flag and go out and fight against all of these people they're divided against. Do you not understand? This is an orchestrated event to divide people further politically in the United States of America. You're not paying attention to the things that are going on all around the world. This system is being set up. This entire system that's going to run the world, that's going to control the world, that's going to cause people to have a mark, an implantable technology in their body is happening, and you're over here squabbling about some woman that got shot in a traffic altercation with ICE over these illegal immigrants that have been brought into this nation that were bought and paid for by the very people who sit on the board of the same global economic forum that's telling you by 2030, you ain't going to own nothing. You're going to be happy. Now, I know this is a big pill to swallow, and it's a lot of information. Like I said in the beginning of this podcast, it's getting to be so much that it's literally hard to wrap your mind around it. And I'm not trying to focus on physical things too much. The Bible says we're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But if we're going to be wise as serpents, we need to pay attention to what's going on around us so that we can discern the signs that the Lord is trying to show us. But as I saw this man's account, who was one of the security guards for Maduro in Venezuela whenever the military attack came and they took him out of the country, I noticed what he said about these super soldiers and this non-human technology that he witnessed. And it made me think about this scripture in Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1, where it says, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And when I saw that scripture, I thought, wow, it makes sense. Do you think that the people that fought against whatever this was in Venezuela were thinking, wow, who is like unto that? Who can make war with that? All of a sudden, they showed up and we fell down on the ground and started vomiting blood, and blood was running out of our nose and we couldn't even use our weapons. That tells me that whenever people begin to see the true power, the true nature of this system that we see slowly coming online, they're going to say, who is like unto the beast? Who can make war with it? We can't use primitive weapons to fight against this because they can just push a button. And I remember a video back from 2017 whenever Donald Trump told Kim Jong-un, he said, don't threaten the United States because if you do, you will be met with fire and fury, the likes of which the world has never seen.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
And when you see this technology that this guy's talking about, he saw in Venezuela, it's starting to sound like he kind of had that attitude of, wow, there's nothing we can do about this. We're going to have to change the way we think about this system here. The reason that I'm telling you about these things is because I believe that we have passed the point of no return, where we are seeing these things come to pass, and it's literally undeniable that we're seeing biblical prophecy being fulfilled daily. These things that are happening with Israel and Iran and the United States and Russia and China and all of these nations, we see them gathering together, getting ready to make war. The Bible says before the time of the end that God gathered them together into a place called Armageddon. We know that we see these things happening. These people with the doomsday clock is moving their hand closer to midnight and all of these things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're on God's time. But the Bible tells me that Satan has great wrath because he knows that he hath but a short time. We are now living in an hour of revelation. Jesus said in the book of Luke that there's nothing hidden that will not be made known in the light. We're seeing all of these things being revealed in this hour because that is what the hour of revelation looks like. It's the revelation of all things, right? The final chapter of the Bible is revelation. Jesus told us these things were going to come to pass. He said, "Fear not, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, I also noticed something that's very disturbing, and a lot of people are going to be upset about this. And I'm not trying to make you mad at me or think that I'm bashing anybody again. Jesus told us that we will know them by their fruits. And he said, whoever is not for me is against me. And whoever does not gather scatters abroad. But I noticed in October of 2025, this didn't make a lot of major headlines, but Trump in the Oval Office celebrated this Hindu ritual of Diwali. It's spelled with a W like Diwali, but they pronounce it Diwali. And I noticed that they had this shrine or this altar set up with this false deity inside the Oval Office, and he took part in the ritual of lighting these incense to this false god inside the Oval Office. And when I saw that, I thought, what is going on? We've got all of these churches and all of these people who claim to be members of the body of Christ praying for this man. And listen, you should be praying for the leader of this nation, whether you agree with them politically or not, because not praying for the leader of a nation is like not praying for the man who drives the ship that you're on in the middle of the sea. You don't want him to crash that boat and sink it. But what I'm saying is what reality do we live in where the president of the United States of America, who was founded on In God We Trust, right? And from my understanding, this nation was founded on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the first of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But we see this man walking up to a altar, basically, to a false god, and take part in a ritual of lighting incense to worship this god. Now, we know that he came out recently on Air Force One and said that he didn't think that he was going to heaven, and he didn't think that there was anything that could get him into heaven when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. He said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, but this man openly admits and confesses that he doesn't believe there's anything that will get him into heaven. But something else that was disturbing is that he was recently celebrating that his daughter Ivanka had converted to Judaism.
And let me also give a very special thanks to someone who truly loves Israel. In fact, loves it so much that my daughter converted. My daughter converted.
We've talked about this. What is the fruit that is on the tree of Judaism? They reject, deny, and blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an antichrist religion. Get that through your skull. Jesus said, whoever is not for me is against me. These people openly deny Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So listen, again, I support everyone's right and freedom to practice whatever religion they choose because God gave them that free will. That's what makes this nation free, is that we have the right to the freedom of religion. We're allowed to use the free will that God has given us to practice these things, but you have somebody who's telling you on one hand that they believe in God, while they're telling you they don't believe that there's anything that can get them into heaven, while they're literally taking part in rituals inside of the White House to worship a false Hindu god of light and prosperity. And there's an idol. They literally had an idol set up in the Oval Office and they were lighting incense around it to exalt this deity. They're exalting these Hindu deities of which I'm not going to repeat the name of them because I'm not going to invoke the name of a demon on this podcast because the Bible tells me there are gods many and lords many, but one God and Father of all, and it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his one true Son who came in the flesh and died on the cross and rose on the third day, and no man comes to the Father but through him. What are we doing thinking that our government stands on the foundations and the principle of the living word of God while they are literally glorifying and exalting these false deities to these other religions At this point, it's not about respecting somebody's religion. If you stand over here and you say, this is what I do and this is what I worship, you can have respect for this other religion without going and taking part in these rituals. That is disturbing in nature to me that we're seeing that kind of fruit on this tree. And listen, guys, I'm not here to bash this guy. I'm not here to say that he's evil. I'm not here to judge him or condemn him. But the Bible says that a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. By their fruits you shall know them. You got a lot of people out here in the body of Christ, or so-called in the body of Christ, that try to tell you, well, you're not supposed to be a fruit inspector. Jesus Christ told us that we will know them by their fruit. How are you going to see what kind of fruit is on the tree if you don't inspect to see what kind of fruit that it is? You have to step out of this political system that forces you to choose a side and see that this is not a battle against flesh and blood. This is spiritual warfare. When we see all of this darkness increasing around the land, we see all of this war and turmoil and division and strife and distress among nations with perplexity. The Bible says that Satan will have great wrath because he knows he hath but a short time. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to have you divided and focused on every different thing. We're in a place right now in this generation where the church can't even agree on what the Bible says because they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The enemy has came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. Jesus warned you to beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They desire to have you dumb and ignorant to the fact that the Bible is the only truth we have in this world. He warns you to study to show yourself approved, a workman, not needing to be ashamed before God, but rightly dividing the word of truth. But we have all these people coming to tell you what they want to tell you out of the book of I Think. Yeah, but. You tell them what the Bible says and they say, yeah, but I think this. That's not what it is. This Bible was designed and created as a guide to help you to figure out how to get your soul into the kingdom of heaven. You need to stop being fooled and deceived by the devices of the enemy and realize that he desires to have you deceived so that you would fall to the wayside and not inherit the kingdom of God. He does not want you to inherit God's kingdom because he does not want to be in hell alone. He knows that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son so that whoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you not understand that the devil's desire is to bring you to the pit of hell with him? Why else would he be making so much deception, so much noise, and have you distracted from the things that truly matter? He wants you to be focused on the flesh. The Bible warns you over and over to be spiritually minded. We see the things that are happening in the world, but we see them with spiritual eyes. As the Bible says, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. You need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. You need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that all these things will be added unto you. We're literally at a place in this generation where if you go and you tell people to repent and turn from their sins, they will accuse you of preaching a works-based salvation. That's how much ridiculousness we see in this society when the body of Christ literally can't agree on what the Word of God says. I put out a podcast last week that was called A Battle Cry for the Souls of the Righteous, and people were so upset about this message because I was telling them that the Lord is calling out to the souls of the righteous to walk in righteousness, to prepare the way of the Lord, to deal aggressively with your sins. There were people in my own life, not just online, but in my own life that were mad and saying, well, he's preaching a works-based salvation because he's telling me that I got to turn from my sin. Jesus told you, you need to turn from these things. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know know them and they follow me. Do you not understand that the Bible says that you need to turn from your sin? He said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You must be born again. Stop trying to tell people that they're telling you the wrong thing when they're telling you to come out from among them and be separate. We're not going to live perfect. You're going to fall. The Bible says this, the righteous man falls seven times and rises up. You can get up and keep going. God understands that you're not perfect. The only righteousness we have is in Christ. But as the true proverb is spoken, the dog returns to its vomit and the hog to the wallowing in the mire after her washing. You don't keep going back and saying, well, I came out of that sin. I'm going to go back into it. And then I'm going to get out of it. And then I'm going to go back into it. Do you understand what happens there? The Bible says when an unclean spirit is cast out, it walks through dry places in the desert seeking rest and finding none. But when it returns, it finds its house clean swept and put away. And it brings with it seven more spirits, more unclean than itself. You repent from that sin. You fast. You turn from it. That demon has to leave that you welcomed in the first place. You return back to that sin as the dog returns to its vomit, and that spirit comes back. It finds its house, its dwelling place, clean swept and put away, and it brings seven more spirits, more unclean than itself. And the latter end of the man is worse than with the beginning, as the Bible says, and you repent. And you fast and you turn from that iniquity. All eight of those spirits walk through the desert in dry places, seeking rest, finding none. And as the dog returns to its vomit, you go over there and you start to lap that sin up that you done rejected two or three times before, right? And what happens? All eight of those unclean spirits return. They find their house, their dwelling place, clean swept and put away. And each one brings seven more spirits, more unclean than themselves. How long do you have to do that before you are possessed and afflicted with legions of demons? Look at the condition of society. Look at the nature of what we see. It's not an easy time to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because we're in an age of technology. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will be increased. We see AI. You got a supercomputer in your pocket. You can look up the worst filth in the world for free with the touch of a button in the privacy of your own home, no matter where you are. If you have a signal, you can look these things up. It's not easy for you to deny yourself of these things because the flesh loves sin. The flesh loves iniquity. It's why the Bible says you must mortify your members here on earth. You can't accuse people of teaching a works-based salvation for telling you to come out of this iniquity and deny your flesh and come out of this sin because the Bible says your faith without works being alone is dead. You need to show people the fruit that's on your tree. How is it that you can do these things and walk with the Lord? Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, yet you do not the things that I say? We need to understand that this is the hour where the true men and women of God need to step out in faith, in obedience, and walk in it. Be the light of the world in the cities that are set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You need to not hide your candle under a bushel, but go out and set your light in the middle of the room so that everyone can see that light. Jesus said, go and shine ye as lights among men. My question to you tonight is, as we see all of these things unfolding, it's not to bring fear into our hearts. Again, we're not given the spirit of fear. Jesus tells us over and over and over in His word, fear not, only believe. Do not have fear. Perfect love, cast out all fear, because fear has torment. And he that has fear has not been made perfect in love, and God is love. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the will of the Father. Jesus said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. You need to understand that you have an obligation to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You cannot continue in this iniquity and still somehow think that you're going to bring that sin to the gates of heaven with you. The question that I have for you tonight is, do you have your affairs in order? Have you made it settled in your heart that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? We see the signs all around. When somebody is told that they have a terminal illness, they tell them to go home and get their affairs in order. But what I'm here to tell you tonight is that the end of all things is at hand. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but our Father only. But you need to have your house and your heart in order. The Lord is calling out to His people and telling them, get your affairs in order. Prepare yourself and prepare the way of the Lord. You need to understand that God has called you in this moment, in this generation, to expose darkness, to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Have you loved your neighbor as you loved yourself? Can you find it in your heart to have love in your heart for your enemies? That is not an easy thing to do. Jesus said something very interesting in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 3. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Do you understand what He's saying there? He's saying, unless you become as a child, you're not going to get into the gates of heaven. No matter how many times you went to church, no matter how many millions or thousands or hundreds of dollars you put into the offering plate, no matter how many times you spent giving food to a charity or donating things to a charity, it doesn't matter, except you be converted. And if you're not born again and become as little children, I used to not understand what that meant, but I started to understand that when I had a child of my own. And I saw that I was learning things through that child's life. I saw that they don't have contempt for anybody else. They have true love in their heart. They care about people. They don't have all of this strife and division and hatred and anger. When they see somebody, they're genuinely happy. They genuinely love their neighbor as they love themselves. We've been calloused by the ways of this world because the enemy has came into our lives and brought in sin and iniquity. Once we reached that age of accountability, and Jesus is saying we have to get back to that. We have to return back to that mentality and have love in our heart for everybody. And true love for everybody is to understand that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That should be the heart of every man, woman, and child on this earth, that you love people enough, no matter the political affiliation, no matter what the religious division is, that the desire of your heart is the desire of God's heart to see that person inherit the kingdom of God. You need to be prepared in your heart that there is a time coming where good men are going to have to do bad things, just like David did, but he still had love in his heart for his enemies, and he was a man after God's own heart because of this. We need to understand that God will use us in this hour if we let Him, but if we do not choose to walk in this calling and go towards the plan that He has set forth for us in our lives, He will pass right on by us and seek someone else. He will seek another, because many are called and few are chosen. I want to read to you here in John chapter 8, starting in verse 12, where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I know there's a lot of things happening in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about some of these things, and some of it sounds so crazy that it's hard to imagine that it's even coming to pass. But you need to be rooted in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ." You need to be rooted in this foundation, because He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." There's a lot of people out here that are in despair. There's a lot of people out here that are going through trial. There's a sifting happening. There's a separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat from the tares. You're going to be tried. Jesus never promised you that this was going to be a life of ease and comfort. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." He said, "There's going to come a time when you're hated by all nations for my name's sake." You need to be prepared in your heart, that your suffering will not be noble, but the trying of your faith is better than precious gold. The Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let patience have her perfect work so that you may be found perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means when you stand before God on the day of judgment, you will not have things on your plate that do not belong in the kingdom of heaven. You will be found weighed in the balance and not found wanting, but you will be found faithful. Right now is the time that you need to start cleaning your slate. You need to begin to search your heart, right? As we talked about last week in the book of Joel, no longer rend your garment, but rend your heart. Wring it out. Seek me with your whole heart, with prayer and fasting and weeping and mourning. Come to me and cast your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. If there's any unforgiveness in your life, you need to remove that. He said, remove every root or seed of bitterness in your heart. Cast these things away from you because they're going to be the very things that cause you problems at the gates of heaven. You need to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to remove any iniquity that be inside you. David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew within me a right spirit. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cast me not far from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You need to understand that this Bible tells us how to come out of iniquity, how to be separate from the world. And you need to be praying in this hour that God would send you forth as a laborer into the harvest to use you to bring forth fruit for his kingdom. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That should be the desire of every man, woman, and child, is to go out and be a disciple, to bring forth fruit, to save souls from the pit of hell. What are we doing out here playing church when there are people lost and dying all over the world? There are people in your family, in your life right now that are on their way to hell, and you have an opportunity to be a witness because you may be the only person that they will listen to. You may be that voice of reason that God has placed you in their lives for this moment, that they may not enter into that broad gate that leadeth unto destruction, but they may find their way into that straight and narrow gate that leadeth unto life and peace and eternity. I want to read to you here in Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 4, and I want to help you understand something here. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you understand that on the day of judgment, the Bible says that God is going to wipe away the tears from your eyes? I believe that the Word of God is telling us these things because you are going to see many people that you loved cast alive into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a real opportunity here to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of heaven. We need to come out from these religious organizations and these divisions of the body of Christ and begin to go out and labor to enter into his rest, to labor in the harvest, to bring forth fruit for his kingdom. We are going to see some tragic things happen, but how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to separate yourself from this world and begin to walk in your calling. Pray that the Lord would show you the things that he has set forth for you in your life. There is no more time for being lukewarm. It is time to go forward as good soldiers of Christ, to labor in that harvest, to bring forth fruit. I want to take a moment to pray for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a very exciting time to be alive for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who don't, it is a very dangerous time because we do not know when that hour will come. And for those who do not believe, it is going to come upon them like a thief in the night. If you haven't got a chance yet, go check out our website. It is TylerWoodEncounter.com, www.TylerWoodEncounter.com. We have these t-shirts available on there. A lot of you have already went and got some of these t-shirts. I'm very grateful for you. Thank you so much for taking part in what we're doing here. I didn't just want to make something to sell you merchandise, but I wanted to create these shirts to help you to walk in boldness, because there are many people out there that may not get to read the Word of God or may not choose to, but these shirts have the written Word of God on them. And if somebody's standing behind you in the grocery store or in any other place and they read the Word of God, it may be a witness to them, and it's going to help you to be more bold in your faith. So I thank you for taking the time to go and check out the website, for taking part in supporting what we do here. It is a big help. We've got several different designs. They're great quality shirts. They are 100% cotton ring spun. They're the best quality that I could find. So I want to go into prayer for you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus to thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word as a warning to the people, to pay attention to the signs that are going on in the world. Father, right now we just stand in agreement. As your word says, if two of you will agree touching anything on the earth, it will be done by our Father, Lord. And we trust you in these things, and we stand agreement when we say that we pray for these nations that are under attack, that are in these wars, that are suffering persecution, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. As your word says, if one member suffers, we all suffer. And if one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And tonight, we stand in weeping and mourning for these people who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Lord. We pray that you would set your hedge of protection around them and us as we go forward into this hour, as we are not ignorant to the devices of the enemy, Lord. We pray that you would continue to make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and help us to be converted, that we may become as little children, so that we would enter into your kingdom. Help us to labor to enter into your rest, Lord. We know that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that thing which you have purposed it for. And Father, we just ask tonight that you would write these scriptures on the tables of our heart. Give us a stronger desire to study your word, to seek your will for our lives. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son Jesus and all that he endured on the cross for our sins. We ask that you would give us discernment tonight, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the things that you need us to see and hear. Lord, bless us with your knowledge, your wisdom, and your understanding above all, so that we may have a greater understanding of your word, that we may apply it to our lives and help others to find the truth, Lord. Let them be as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, so that we may show the way to others, Lord. Use us to be beacons of light and fishers of men in this hour, that we may help to save a soul from death, to turn many from iniquity into righteousness, and cover multitudes of sins. Father, we thank you today. We love you with all of our heart, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise that is due to you, Father. And we just say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God, who is and was and is to come. And we thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I know these things aren't easy things to hear. It seems like there's a lot of confusion in the world. It's not always going to be easy to discern the things of the Spirit, but we must trust God. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we see things that we don't understand, that don't seem to make sense, we must pray that the Lord would give us understanding in these things, so that we could see them how He desires for us to see them, so that we may be edified. Guys, I ask that you would continue to pray for me as I will pray for you. Thank you for everybody who's made comments, who sent support. I love you so much. I'm so thankful. Again, I'm going to tell you, I've got a few more things that I'm working on, and soon I will be announcing the House of Prayer. It is going to be something that I believe that is going to shake the foundation of hell, and I'm doing this in obedience to the Lord. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel, share this podcast. I love you guys with all of my heart. Thank you for your love, prayers, and support. This has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.